everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Grim Scenarios, where we are continuing with our experimental character deep dives on Blood on the Clock Tower with me, Emma, my regular co-host, Milk.
It's me.
And our special guest, Ember. How you doing, Ember?
Oh. Pretty good. I'm glad to be here and talk about the most underrated character in Clock Tower.
We are talking today about the Alsahir. Alsahir's ability is, of course, each day if you publicly guess which players are minions and which are demons, and both those have a little S after them, in parentheses, good wins. Its ability is the Alsahir guesses the entire evil team, and its flavor text is, I am here because of you, and you are here because of me.
I think that's a Beatles reference? I'm actually genuinely not sure where that one's from.
I don't know. I'm not good at references. Can't help you there.
Alsahir is a relatively new character, at least as at the time of this recording. It's one of the last townsfolk to get revealed in the sort of big 2025 character reveal drops. And it's an interesting character because the character's ability, or the player's ability to use the character's ability, is substantially changed at different player counts, and also with certain evil characters. And we'll get into some of that as we get into talking about how to play. But we always like to start off just with kind of some general thoughts about the character. And Ember, I know that Alsahir is maybe your favorite character, certainly one of your favorite characters. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your love of the Alsahir?
Absolutely. The general opinion of the Alsahir, I think, unfortunately, is that it's rather underpowered. I used to think similarly, but then I had at least one good game where the Alsahir did some real good work for town. It eliminated worlds. It showed its worth, and it made me really appreciate how interesting the character is, not just within its win condition element, but the info you can gain if you don't pull off the win condition. So I just found an appreciation for it.
Yeah, and I think that's a common theme with characters that have special win conditions. Whether that's the Mare or the Slayer from TV, or the Evil Twin or Mastermind from SMV and VMR, or the other experimental characters with extra win cons. I think, people frequently think of the win con as the ability, and they think if they don't hit the win con, the character isn't doing anything. But all these characters have some other functional component to them. And special win cons are frequently, should be looked at as the cherry on top of the character's ability. And what is it they're doing to the game? What is it they're providing to their team outside their win con is what matters. You should generally think of characters ignoring their win cons and think of what their ability does without them. And then once you're there, you can move on and see what the win con adds extra.
Yeah, and I think it's not just the extra win con characters. We talked a lot when we were doing the tier list, and we talked a lot in the sort of, previous old episodes of the podcast about how you can play characters using their information in different ways, about how you can think about characters' roles and what their ability text says in different ways. And while that's especially true for the extra win con characters, I think it's kind of a general thing. Maybe it's sort of been a general theme of all of our Grim Scenarios podcast efforts over time. But I think with the Alsahir especially, it's the ability to eliminate specific worlds that really comes into play. And you can do some of that in a really interesting way with some of the mobile demons as well, where you can sort of use the Alsahir's ability to eliminate some potential things that have happened in the game, which is pretty interesting.
And sorry for audio listeners, you've just missed me trying to fiddle with and center my camera.
She's back, everybody. The last thing just to mention in the intro piece here is that there is one jinx that includes the Alsahir. The Vizier is jinxed with the Alsahir, such that if the Vizier is in play, the Alsahir must also guess what the demon type that is in play is.
I believe that was the old jinx.
That's the one off the jinx. Oh, you know what? I might have copied it wrong. Hang on. Let me just make sure. Did I copy it wrong? I copied the wrong jinx, didn't I? Let's see. Let me scroll down. Hang on. Yep. See, my prep was bad. That's what happens sometimes. Alsahir. The storyteller doesn't declare the vizier is in play. Is the jinx with the vizier now. My fault. So there you go.
Yeah. The Alsahir also has an optional rule. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with the optional rule because, one, I've never seen anyone use it. And two, unlike other optional rules, this is sort of a house librarian-esque rule. It's about managing the annoying level of what people can do in a game. Versus actually doing something mechanical. And the optional rule is like the juggler and gossip, which, for the record, do not have this optional rule anywhere. They're all the decks, so The storyteller may limit the number of players that make an Alsahir guess up to 3 players per day. Only use this optional rule if so many players are bluffing as the Alsahir that the game slows down and ceases to be fun. What I'd say about this optional rule is don't use it. But use it if, like, you have a script with multiple things that require public claiming, and every day, every player is insisting on bluffing all of them. It's just not fun at some point.
I think if you intend to implement this optional rule, it's probably going to be something that you're going to implement on, like, day 2, because on the first day, like, just everybody did all of the things. And if you are going to implement it, it's worth mentioning to the players whose abilities, public claiming abilities, you're going to limit, you know, that you're going to do this at the beginning of the day so that they know they need to get their thing in. That's really the most fair way that you can do it. It's probably not something you're going to put in at the beginning of a game.
It's probably not something you're going to be put in.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
It's a crowd management control.
Yeah. With that said, why don't we jump into the how to play of the Alsahir? And I think maybe Ember, if you want to kind of start us off, what's the sort of mindset you get when the token flips, when you pull the token out of the bag and look at it, peek at it secretly in your hand? What's kind of the first thing you start thinking about as the Alsahir? Because, of course, you know, you're not going to have any starting information. Your information could develop over time.
Yeah. For me, the first thing I think about is, okay, time to try and get as much information as possible. The Alsahir is never a particular target for demon kills or poisoning early, so you're okay to be pretty public with it if you want. But my goal as the Alsahir, like, day one, is just try and get as much info as possible to make more informed guesses. You're unlikely to hit day one, but you can still spend those days gathering information that you can use later.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the other main thing you need to start thinking about relatively early as the Alsahir is the good team's goal is to execute the deed, right? Which means if a player is being executed, you don't need to guess them as the demon. You guessing them as the demon is redundant to what's already being done. So In the early days, this doesn't matter so much because generally there's not going to be strong demon candidates yet. And your execution is probably not going to be targeted at someone who people think is the demon. But as the game goes on, you want to use your guess on a player as the demon who's not going to be executed. You want to eliminate the best world other than the world you're going to execute into. And you want to, and there's like, I think lots of things we can talk about on what that means for when you guessed, how you guess, and why you guess. And that can change based on the game stage. But remember this is, the group is going to execute someone. You want to eliminate some world that's not the one they're going to execute.
Yeah, a thing that I say very commonly when I'm playing in games of Clock Tower, something I think about a lot as a player in Clock Tower games, is the world that's opposed to the one that you're currently in. It's very easy in a game of Clock Tower to sort of throw good money after bad and keep killing down the same sort of line of information without looking at the alternative world, right? Alsahir allows the good team to probe the alternative world without expending executions on those demon candidates, without expending executions on that evil team. Let's say you got a group of, let's say you got sort of one group of evil players that you're kind of interested in, and then you got some other players who maybe are in confirmation chains or who are confirming one another. You can put Alsahir guesses into those confirmed players, players who in other worlds than the one you're currently considering as a town would be an evil team without expending the town's execution resources. Now, the town should probably eventually execute into those worlds, but you can eliminate some of the demon candidates from those worlds using your Alsahir guesses.
Absolutely. This works even better if there's probably only one or two specific worlds where a certain person is evil. If you can clear those worlds, then you never need to like touch that person again. Never need to execute them again. You can let them bang the night. So there's a lot of other ways to play.
Yeah, so you're thinking about like something where maybe in the mid game, like somebody's only evil if they're evil in this sort of exact set of circumstances. Otherwise, they're confirmed, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, which can be strong instead of trying to go for the win, kind of using your ability to confirm a player in an even greater sense.
Yeah, I like that. I like aiming Alsahir guesses into sort of confirmation chains and into players that would otherwise sort of not be considered to help clear them out. I think it's a good alternate, you know, way of thinking about Alsahir.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lots of times in Clock Tower games, you're going to end up in situations where for player A to be evil, player B also has to be evil, right? And if either of them are good, they're both good. And in Trouble Brewing, you can sort of resolve these in a two-for-one deal by executing one of these two players and seeing what an Undertaker seeks. I say sort of because, you know, misinformation and lies exist.
It's Trouble Brewing.
But you can sort of do that, right? And that lets you use essentially two executions for the price of one.
Yep.
If you execute player A and Undertaker sees them as good, you don't have to be worried about player B anymore. It's sort of like the good team wants to find ways to make their executions count. Executions are a limited resource in Blood on the Clock Tower. You get a certain number of them per game, and the more of them you waste on wrong worlds, the less of them you have to shoot at plausible worlds. So if you as the Alsahir can say, like, let's say it's a two evil game, if you can say, all right, for player A to be evil, player B also has to be evil, day one I'll guess player A is the demon, player B is the minion, day two I'll guess the converse, great. You've eliminated both the worlds where that is the evil team. without spending any of your executions on time, which is a valuable fit.
Yeah, I think that gets into one of the things that I'm interested in about the Al-Sahir, and I'm sure Ember has thoughts about this too, which is Al-Sahir's relative strength at different player counts. Emma was mentioning, you know, in a two evil game, in a game where there's only a minion and a demon, it's a lot easier for an Al-Sahir to eliminate a world by just guessing two players as demon minion and then minion demon. That's 2 days of guesses. Obviously, there's going to be less days available for guessing, but that's pretty strong in a two-player game. It's a lot harder in a three-minion game, or a three-player, a three-evil game, rather, where you have two minions and a demon, and you have to get them all right. And it's very difficult in a four-evil game where you have one minion and three demons, right? Even though you get more guesses, in theory, over the course of the game, you may have more time. It's a lot harder for an Al-Sahir to track down multiple evil players.
Absolutely. I don't know the exact math, but it, like, there's such a greater magnitude of possible permutations of evil teams from the two minion count to the four minion count. It spans a lot. So randomly guessing is not going to help you there. You do have more time, and if you can... That's the other thing of the Al-Sahir. The longer you live, the stronger you get. So hopefully you could live longer as well to get closer to the world. But I absolutely agree. Very strong at two minion. I think it's still strong at one minion. Still strong at two minion. Definitely weaker at three minion. But that's how some characters are, unfortunately.
There's another interesting thing that's worth talking about that's sort of in this same vein, which is talking about what you do when you're guessing in a game that has mobile demons or, a Scarlet Woman, for example, that allows the minion to become a demon. How do you use Al-Sahir in a different way, or how do you think about that in terms of, you know, whether there's a star pass, you know, whether the Scarlet Woman has caught the demon, whether the Fangu has jumped. Do you start to get into those worlds? Do you try to avoid them? What's the thought process, I guess, with Al-Sahir? I always think maybe it's better to try to eliminate the less number of evils to guess or the simpler worlds, but you do stand a chance of missing if you do that. So I'm curious about both of your thoughts about what you do differently as an Al-Sahir when there's mobility in the evil team.
Normally,
so sorry, Ember, go ahead.
My normal answer is
I'm not going to guess into those worlds where the demon has moved, unless there's a particularly good reason to need. And the reason for that is the win condition isn't really what matters to me. I said this at the top. I'll say it for literally any character that has a win condition attached to it. I do not care about the win condition. If it happens, it happens. And that's fine. But I never shooting for it, and I don't really care about it. The value proposition in guessing a dead player as a demon is relatively limited. Because what you're looking for is trying to find the evil player who's the living player who's a demon. That's what you're looking for, is the good team. It doesn't mean you never guess there's like two demons on the Spell of Luminary Inscript. But it's just not like something that is going to be my focus in this. I already have a reason to think that the demon has killed themselves somehow.
I have a lot of similar thoughts. I probably wouldn't guess into, say, a Fangu jump world unless either A, it's like there's a very narrow world that if guess clears a certain person, such as this person can only be the demon if they were Fangu jumped, could you worth clearing it? Or there's a lot of evidence pointing at that world, such as perhaps in the TV, like a executed demon example. If an Undertaker saw a demon who was executed, perhaps you could start guessing into Scotland worlds in that case. But otherwise, I would probably just stick to the standard count, unless there's good reason to deviate from that.
And ultimately, you're still, you know, trying to eliminate worlds, right? Even if you're not guessing dead demons or Fangu jumps, you can still eliminate other worlds that don't have those demons in them or where those things haven't happened. And that can be just as valuable, especially when you're demon hunting. Yeah, I agree with you both. I think, you know, unless you really have, you know, you've got some, you know, really solid information that the demon has moved, it's probably not worth spending a lot of time making those guesses. You know, maybe in the mid to late game, if you're still around and you've really got a strong sense of something that's happened, maybe that helps.
Yeah. Alsehier is all about finding the most plausible world you can think of and seeing if you can clear it with your Alsehier guest. So if the demon movement seems to be the most plausible thing and that you should guess, then I could see a reasoning for it.
Another sort of pet peeve of mine, and I think I talked about this in our tier list, so I'm going to talk about it again now in a future episode. There is very little point as the Alsehier in making a guess before you know who is going to be executed that day. I do not care if your storyteller... Well, if your storyteller has some, like, weird, like... rule of how the day phases go that's overly structured, where X has to happen before Y, after that before Z. Can technically get a better storyteller, but like, there's like reasons to gossip and slay or shoot or juggle before an execution is on the block. There is no reason in my mind to take an Alsehier guess before an execution is on a blar.
Yeah.
Like, if there is no value into you guessing someone as the demon and then town deciding to execute them anyway when the game doesn't end until the very late game.
Yeah.
In which case, like, different rules apply. But in the early mid game, on day one, you guess someone as the demon, then 5 minutes later they get put on the block. It's just not... Your guess is wasted. You should have time. There should always be time after someone is on the block to make an alternative Alsehier guess. And whether you are the Alsehier or you're bluffing Alsehier to cover for the Alsehier, that is the time to make your Alsehier guess. Yeah. Make it when it matters. Make it when you're not doubling down on the same world that you're already executed into.
Yeah.
That's it's one of the things I think as a storyteller that when you see an Alsehier guest get nominated and executed, someone who is guessed as the demon, you kind of as the storyteller just go like, that's a weird choice. And sometimes you even see someone who will like an Alsehier will make a guess and then someone will nominate the person that was guessed as the demon, you know, with sort of a meme nomination of like, oh, I heard the Alsehier thinks they're the demon. Like, that's probably not helping your team to get that person executed right now. So it's worth thinking about. Maybe hold your guess, Alsehier. You could help contribute to better guessing.
For sure.
Yeah, but like, even on Final Three, if you happen to be alive as an Alsehier on Final Three, and town is divided between two worlds, like, and it's not clear which way the vote is going to go, if you let the town make their decision first and execute into that world, you can then guess the alternative world, and you can get both worlds that way.
Yeah.
Like, if you could, like, it seems like it would be the same thing if you go the other way around, but it's not. Because, like, if town thinks you're a minion in world A, You are a minion candidate in World A, and you make your guess with a different minion candidate, obviously. Then like this person's still the demon, let's put them on the block. Anyway, the Elsa here is fake and just a minion. And like you can't predict how the talent's gonna hatch with perfect certainty. But you can predict that if someone is already on the block on Final Three, you can guess the altar of the world with the other player as the demon.
I mean, frankly, that's where you want to be as the Elsa here, is be in Final Three and being able to guess, like, shoot into both worlds in that way. That's where you want to be. So if you're in Final Three as an Elsa here, like, you've done something right and have the ability to guess into the other world, which is where you want to be.
Yeah, I think Elsa here benefits from some of the play patterns that we've previously talked about and recommended for things like Demon Bane characters, where, you know, it's fairly important to try to get people to trust you reasonably early in the game. And that usually means, you know, sometimes you're going to have to like share your role, or it usually means kind of going along with town to some extent, you know, trying to build sort of a good kind of social read with people. The more good socially you're going to appear, the more likely these people are going to trust the information that you've generated with your Elsa here ability. And also the more likely it is that they're going to share their information with you and help you to make better guesses. And so, or at least so that you know what worlds they're going to kind of likely be in with the information, so you can eliminate alternate worlds, so you can guess into other worlds, right? So I think Elsa here is a character that really strongly benefits from you putting on your best "I'm on the good team" voice and trying to seem good with your fellow teammates. Simultaneously, it does want to live a long time, so it's tricky.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully buy that, because the Elsa here is a character who gets exponentially more powerful the more guesses they get to make. And generally, the way to stay alive is to make the demon think that you're someone who can be framed. So I think for me, it's probably not a high trust strategy character, but I also like to live more dangerously with my trust economy than most players anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it can be played in either way, and that's kind of interesting. I think that makes Elsa here kind of interesting. I think we did rank it quite high strategically on our tier list because you have a lot of options of how to approach it.
Yeah. Your play pattern can also depend on the script. Like, if there's more protection rules, maybe you are willing to be a little bit more willing to trust people, or like have people trust you because you're more likely to live longer. So it's very situationally dependent, just based on everything.
And unfortunately, like other public claim roles, it's not something you could really hide very easily. So you're gonna have to, you know, at least most of the time be claiming Elsa here, even if you have cover. Well, that means it's time to move on to how to bluff as the Elsa here. You're on the evil team, maybe you decided you want to trick those good players by pretending to be an Elsa here. What are some of the things you need to think about? What are some of the approaches you need to take? There's probably some general thoughts about evil players in Elsa here games as well that we could share. So where do we want to get started with the bluffing aspect of this one?
All right. I've talked about this a lot in a lot of different formats. But the bluffing strategy for the evil team, as a general theory, is conceptually built around you want to bluff information that'll help town think that other people in Final Three are the demon, not the actual demon. Now, what this means... Now, normally you have a lot of tools you can use as an evil player if you get there. You can hide your information for a few days like you would if you were good. You can glob on to other town information later in the game, gets poisoned or drunk to find a target frame that's already supported by the storyteller's information. You can say some information privately to one person one day, Then 2 days later, when you realize that doesn't really work for your endgame strategy anymore, you can say, that's not what I said. I said this, and they misheard me. Elsa, your information is public. You do not want to be in a situation as an Allison here who theoretically wants to be believed that, oops, I've guessed the worlds where player 2 and 3 are the demon on final 3, and those are the two living players who aren't my demon. If you want an Alistair bluff to be believed and worked, the demon candidates it's clearing need to die in the night.
Yeah. I think that can definitely be said for a lot of confirmatory information. Like even bluffing Fortune Teller, for instance. You probably don't want to come into Final 3 with the other two people being a Fortune Teller nodes.
Yeah.
Never great.
That seems bad.
Yeah. But with Fortune Teller, you can, like, hide 3 days of your information. With Elsa here, you can't.
Yeah, with Fortune Teller, you can start building the world later, right? Because you can, like, hide for 3 days and then go, oh, I'm the Fortune Teller, and you can build a coherent world that includes people who aren't dead and are likely to survive. With Elsa here, you don't get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you do have the benefit of your early days of guesses less often being, like, useful later in the game. Like, they can be occasionally, but, like, your day one and two guesses usually won't come back to bite you. It's when you get towards the mid-game where you gotta start killing around your guesses as well.
I think something that maybe goes along with what we were talking about with how to play Elsa here is if you... Because usually the demon is not in the main world town is chasing, just from the way that the game works out, usually with misinformation and minions pushing information and the evil players pushing information. Typically, the demon's going to be in an alternate world. So it might be that the alternative world that your guesses are clearing includes the worlds where your demon is the actual demon. And that might mean that as a minion bluffing Elsa here, you need to have some near misses. On your demon. That is to say, you're probably going to have to guess your demon as the demon sometimes. And that's a little scary for some players because, you know, towns might go, maybe that person is the demon. But it's really important that you make sure that you get your demon into some of the worlds that are cleared so that the good players don't turn around and you don't end up with a world where that player is the only demon candidate. As the demon bluffing Elsa here, you really got to kill some of those worlds that you've cleared. Like, you really don't want to be in Final 3, and your Elsa here guesses have eliminated everybody else who's alive. That's probably bad.
Yeah, I think in general, it's just also good to keep try and have information that builds as many worlds as possible. Like, if this is more of a collective team effort and something on the back end, it's just... Don't have information that narrows things down into maybe one or two worlds. Try and kind of keep things much more open, much more like ambiguous, so that your Elsa here, your evil blessing Elsa here, has several worlds that they can kill into, but still leave worlds open for good to have execute into.
That said, and I know what I said and what everyone else said here. Don't underestimate the value of bluffing someone as the demon with information that cannot possibly be correct. This isn't an Elsa here game, but just as, like, this was probably my favorite game of Clock Tower I played this calendar year. It was a game I recorded for a YouTube channel. I was the Yagababble. I said my phrase about 10 times a day. On Final 3, the two players were alive were players I was blocking that I had Village Idiot's goods on. One of them was one of my minions. And then I won that game. Like, obviously incorrect information is scary for an evil player to give, especially the demon. And it's high risk. It's certainly high risk. But people do not expect you as the demon to be bluffing information that's either poisoned or self-incriminating. They don't always expect it. So if you end up in the world where you've accidentally cleared everyone else alive when Final Three is the demon bluffing also here, stay calm. Stay collected. And start thinking about the reasons your information might be wrong, rather than, like, rolling over and playing dead. Do what a good player would do in that situation, because that can happen to a good player.
Mm-hmm.
The Al-Sahir can be poisoned, or the drunk, or puzzle drunk, or widow poisoned, or Nodakshi poisoned, or any of the other ways characters can have bad information in Blood of the Fought Tower. If you find yourself in that situation by mistake, don't hit the panic button. Don't hit the eject button.
There's a lot of things.
It can happen to a good player, and it happens to good players more than it happens to demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see the pile of games that I've won as the imp bluffing washerwoman with wrong information. Something I genuinely can't do anymore because I've done it too many times. You can also look like a minion who's clearing your demon. Right? That's also something you could do in that space. There's still a lot of options left for you. So if you do end up there, don't worry about it. You got this.
It takes a bit of awareness to know what to fall back into. Say, could you fall back into a minion? Or do you have a town crier no on you, for instance? So should you fall back into trying to look like a good player, trying to look like perhaps a minion? There's a lot to think about and a lot to try and be aware of at that present moment. But I think it's a very good message overall. Like, there's always a way out. You can always, like, barring some very special circumstances, you can always try and fight and explain things away. Like, there's always a way out.
And that's where your information economy comes into play really strongly, right? That's where your efforts at gaining information, which as an evil player you should already be doing, but the Al-Sahir wants to do anyway. So that combination of things to create an information economy is going to advantage you. Al-Sahir's want information that they can use to try to make guesses. So if you're an evil player bluffing Al-Sahir, you have a reason to try to get people to give you their information that doesn't make you look suspicious, right? That means that you can gain information, and information helps the evil team to win. It helps them to figure out what players have what information, what worlds they can build, right? So those things go hand in hand. The Al-Sahir bluff is a great way to gather information for your team. An adjacent question. This isn't exactly a question about bluffing as the Al-Sahir, but an adjacent question about when you're an evil player in a game that has an Al-Sahir in it. How do you respond to either having forgotten that there's an Al-Sahir and playing as an outed minion, or sort of being outed as a minion by information? Obviously, if you're outed as the demon, you're probably in a bad shape. But if you're a minion who's been outed in an Al-Sahir game, what can you do to help work around that problem that's been created?
I'd say there's not a whole lot you can do. It kind of depends what minion you are. If you're an outed poisoner who's alive because town can afford to execute you, you're fine. But, like, I think you kind of just have to rely on there being enough other worlds, because nothing you will push will have terribly much say either way. So there's not much you can do terribly socially. But you can just kind of, like, better inform your evil team if you haven't communicated with them, or kind of hope that they can also see that this is a problem and possibly take out the Al-Sahir if necessary.
Yeah. Kill the Al-Sahir.
Great choice.
Just kill it. Like, if that situation comes up where the Al-Sahir is inevitably going to have a significantly easier job than they're supposed to because one of your minions is caught with their hands and caught red-handed, just kill them. Even better, poison them if you have that option. But if you don't have the poison option, we'll kill.
Notably, that is also a really juicy target for a Serenovus, since locking them from claiming Alsahir and making Alsahir guesses can be something that the Serenovus can do to at least delay the Alsahir from being able to use their ability on the correct evil team for a day. I don't know if the, you know, I don't know if the storyteller is going to make the choice in your favor or not, but a Serenovus locked Alsahir is a pretty, pretty tough break for the Alsahir.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, I would imagine most storytellers would honor it, especially because the Serenovus being on the Alsahir means that if you have a dreamer who wants to share their information, they can. So, like, I would most likely honor in most cases, because it's using the Serenovus to lock down a piece of information while letting other information go.
Yeah, it's a choice that's been made by the evil team to prioritize locking the Alsahir for a day instead of, you know, something else. It's a great choice. Great thought. And I think killing the Alsahir at that point just becomes kind of mandatory for the evil team. They just become someone that you kind of have to kill. It's up to your risk tolerance as to how long you let them keep going before you kill them.
Yeah. Trap preys. Avoid them.
Yeah. Monks and Alsahirs. Don't want them still alive in Final 5, Final 4. You know, not the best place for you to be.
Yep, it's a game of chicken. How long will you keep playing until you risk losing?
Yep.
I think unless either of you don't mind, why don't we get into talking about some of the things that we look for when we storytell for the Alsahir? And of course, if we're gonna storytell an Alsahir game, as we've mentioned previously, it doesn't have a home script yet, so you're gonna have to go find a script. You're gonna have to go find a custom script. This is Clockwork Cyborg, a custom script that features a solo Kazali, but also has the Alsahir. But what should we look for? What are the things that you look for in an Alsahir-focused script?
Minimal demon movement. Pretty minimal. Like, that changes the number of demons in play, I think, is pretty something I look for. Like, I would probably almost never run a script with a Fangu that adds an extra demon. Like, you talked about it earlier, but my answer was probably going to be don't play that script.
Yeah, I think, like, with Alsahir, it doesn't have bad interactions per se, but it has, like, interactions that can make it less fun. Little Monster, I think, is kind of gross with Alsahir. Because the moving little monster just means your information is all mush anyway. You can guess the correct evil team in all its permutations and get nothing out of it.
I'm pretty strongly against Evil Twin with Alsahir. I think it's just not very much fun, you know? It forces the Alsahir to sort of build worlds with both twins. So it's like having an outed evil player and you can guess one or guess the other. And it sort of means you know one of the evil players, but also you kind of don't. And it's just, I've actually played as the Alsahir in an evil twin game like twice. And it's just sort of, it just sort of feels sort of like almost like you're not doing anything. So I think it's not great.
All the minions whose abilities are sort of public who have to use them, whether that be evil twin, wraith, psychopath, vizier. I think those are the four.
Those are the main, yeah.
Yeah, the ones where, like, a good, like, to use your ability, to use your ability the way you're intended to use your ability, a good player gets to know who you are.
Yeah.
Just makes Alsahir sort of not fun. Or makes Alsahir sort of not fun for those minions, so I would generally try to avoid them. I don't mind a little bit of... I think, like, a limited amount of demon mobility is good on an Alsahir script. It's cool. Sweat Woman, Imp, I think Barber's probably fine, too, and Chaos Hatter.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much that to, like, is, like, you want evil to be to escape when the Alsahir is closing in some of the time. Well, at least we argue that the Unitin could have escaped. Unlike sort of the positive side of interactions, I'm a huge fan of Alsahir with Leviathan.
For sure.
Leviathan, its big thing is it takes away a ton of executions from the good team. And Alsahir kind of adds some of those back. Because it's much harder to execute worlds in the Leviathan game, Alsahir doesn't really feel oppressive to me in Leviathan. And the guarantee of 5 days of information, I think, is quite strong.
Yeah. It also highly encourages evil to use whatever resources they have, to potentially fight the Alsahir instead of what evil teams I see them often doing, which is ignore it. Just sort of ignore the Alsahir. It's very strong in a Leviathan game.
Yep. I've been a Leviathan who's lost to an Alsahir on the final day. Like, we were going to execute a good player on final day, but the Alsahir sniped it and got the evil team and won. So, like, it can be very powerful, and I think that makes it a great partner for it.
Yeah. I think also the other thing is you probably want to avoid too much confirmation of good characters.
Yeah.
Like, if there's too many players who... Well, this is just general script writing. Script chosen advice. This is always true, in fact. Confirmation is more powerful than information that suggests someone might be evil.
Yep.
Because it's harder to fake. And it's easier to eliminate worlds or its bluff. You generally don't want scripts with a ton of confirmation. But a ton of confirmation and then a good wooden condition trigger can just feel, like, scummy and unfun for the evil team. Even beyond, like, too much confirmation normally can. So just sort of avoid it.
Yeah. It's best to have a little bit of everything. A little bit of confirmation. Some info so the Alsahir can make informed guesses. Yep.
An overwhelming amount of information.
You also want diverse information. And again, this is, like, general script. And Alsahir just wants, like, a generally well-constructed script, right? That has, like, a variety of information types, some start knowing, some maybe once per games, you know. Like, it wants a diverse cast of character types to work with and information types to work with, right? Because it's not just interested in finding the demon. It's also interested in information that tells it about minions or if there's dead evil players, right? Or all sorts of different things. But if it has too much, again, it feels oppressive where all that information just allows the Alsahir to make a clean guess, right? You want enough information that it eliminates some worlds for the Alsahir, but not so much information that it eliminates everything. And specifically that it doesn't eliminate players as possibly being evil. That's the real danger, is anytime you can eliminate a player from possibly being evil at all, that's a huge risk for having an Alsahir on script. Every player that's not the demon, or every player that's not evil, is neither a demon or a minion. And that makes Alsahir much stronger in terms of its ability to guess evil teams. I don't think... One of the things we sometimes talk about is duplicators. I don't think there's any trouble with duplicators with the Alsahir. The Philo can Alsahir. The Cannibal can eat an Alsahir. Those are all perfectly fine things. You can have as many Alsahirs as you want. And it actually works quite well with those characters because it doesn't... It's not something like a Balloonist where the information that the other Balloonist got is not going to track with the new Alsahir. Alsahir, having an Alsahir and then having another Alsahir to guess later is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I would say that with, like, the slight asterisk that having two sober Alsahirs active at the same time can be very oppressive. So most of those combos don't allow it, but some of them allow it in sneaky ways if you let multiple ones of them on the script.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just because of,
like,
the cautious
It's very
of that.
Rare. Yeah. That's just kind of script building tendency in general. Just try and prevent scripts that allow you to have multiple sober alive abilities. Generally.
Yeah. Not necessarily a script selection thing, but just a flag. Do not bounty hunter turn to Alice a year almost ever, which means maybe you don't put them on a script together, because its ability cannot really help the EDOT.
Yeah. Bounty hunter also can kind of confuse the Alice here, because you have another player who's acting like evil, but who the Alice here can't guess to win. So it's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah. Politician may fill that space as well, but, you know, so you need to have some things that are potentially disrupting the Alsa here. So, you know, it's a balance, as always. I think that's probably covered that. Shall we look at maybe building a bag and seeing what we seeing what characters we might put into a bag and how we might build a game for an Alsa here?
Yeah, sure.
And I think probably just for randomness's sake, shall we just put the Kazali in with two minions and just not worry about making the minion picks? Sure. Seems simple enough. We can, I don't know. I'm indifferent on what minions we put in the bag, kind of. But we could probably just like put in a Serenovus and Scarlet Woman, maybe. Those might be interesting.
Sure.
Okay, well, Ember, what we usually do here is we kind of go around and we all kind of add a character or two and kind of just talk through it and kind of go in a cycle. Of course, we're going to have the Alsa here in the bag, because why not have an Alsa here in the bag? We're talking about it and we want to talk about how to build a bag for it.
I guess I'll choose something.
Yeah, go for it.
The Oracle works wonderfully with the Alsa here. Can let you know if you should start guessing into dead players for potentially minions, which is always something good to know.
Yeah. I like sort of vague evil detectors like the Town Crier quite a bit with the Alsa here, because these characters can help point the Alsa here in a direction without, like, loading the gun and showing them where to shoot.
I think for me, just with the amount of outsiders that are likely to end up in this bag, I think an interesting one to have with the Alsa here is the Plague Doctor. It allows the storyteller to get some interesting other abilities in play, allows them to sort of create some disruption around the town. Maybe information that was good previously is bad later. So I think I'd put a Plague Doctor in with the Alsa here pretty consistently.
Yeah, I that makes a lot of sense. I think we should probably have a little bit of confirmation. And I think a librarian will do just fine for that. Not just confirming one player, which is useful, but not too much. Not too overbearing.
Similar to the Town Crier, I like the Savant a lot to be honest here. Because the Savant is the sort of character who can give directions for the Alice here to look at without telling them where to go.
Yeah, I think General fulfills that role pretty nicely as well for the Alsa here. Although I don't think we need both of them in the bag. I really want to talk about another thing, which is the Recluse. So if we could add the Recluse to the bag, I think we should probably do that.
Sure.
I think with a recluse in the bag, I would like a mathematician. I think that could be interesting regarding to help clarify possibly Oracle information or Town Crier information if it pings off of the recluse.
Yeah, and we haven't given this evil team a ton of directed disinformation.
Yeah. We'd have one more spell we're building in this bag. Well, and because this is a Kazali script, we really have free. But I think, like, for me, the characters I'd mostly want to avoid here is the fortune teller. I think there's too much triangulating information for a fortune teller to exist with an Alsa here.
Yeah.
But I think I'd be fine with any of the other five townsfolk or a third outsider.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how the game goes. I wouldn't mind putting the Banshee in the bag. Banshee's not necessarily always going to trigger, but if it does, it's one person that the Alsahir knows just isn't on the evil team. And that's a pretty strong piece of information. That's a pretty strong piece of information for the good team.
And with that, we have 12 characters.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, yeah. The Alsahir is another one of these characters that, like, after bag building, your sort of focus on the storyteller is mostly out of the picture. I thought, say, on this script, maybe one discretionary point we could talk about later. But you're not doing a lot of active storytelling around the Alsahir. The thoughts you need to think about are what you need to think about what goes in the bag with the Alsahir. As I said repeatedly, what I like is things that give the Alsahir somewhere to look, but not someone to point at.
Yeah.
Area
information, right?
Yeah. Milgad, no, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the recluse with the Alsahir.
Yeah, I want to make a cautionary recluse, yes, but don't kind of thing here, which is the Alsahir is going to guess some evil teams. If the Alsahir guesses the correct evil team by some chance, they should win the game. The good team should win the game. It is kind of gross to use the recluse to not allow the Alsahir's ability to work because you've registered it as a minion for the Alsahir guess that the Alsahir didn't guess. I think that's pretty deeply scummy, and I would just say don't even think about doing that. Don't think about recluse as being able to disrupt that piece of Alsahir guessing.
Yeah, this is something that came up specifically during the release stream, where they talked about it as there was, like, it was like playtesting. They never found a situation where a recluse misregistering into an Alsahir was fun. And that's correct. Neither like letting the Alsahir just include the recluse as a minion. I think like that one actually doesn't matter, but
yeah, I don't think that one works.
You never use the recluse to deny the Alsahir the win.
Yeah,
it's just sort of scummy.
You're gonna lose the trust of everyone in that game, probably including the evil team players who will feel like they lost the game as well. So just don't. It doesn't need to do that. That was the reason I want to put recluse in the bag, because I do think it's just like worth saying. I know we get all kinds of silly recluse questions all the time. That's one I would just say, don't do that. It's not good. Ember, any thoughts on this scrim for you?
I mean, a lot of the scrim, I think, will come down to a good amount of player choices, right? Like, will minions nom? The savant info, I think, like, that's storyteller dependent, but I think a lot of the scrim is kind of out of the SD's hands now that the tokens have been dealt. The most you can really do is confirm something with the librarian and choose when to register the recluse. Like,
I have one question for you all on the scrim. I'm going to kill a bunch of people. All right. All these people are dead, which is the town crier, the banshee, the librarian, the serenovus, the mathematician, the recluse, the oracle, and the scarlet woman, leaving the Alsahir, the plague doctor, the savant, and the Kazaldi alive. Everyone knows the Serenovus and the Scarlet Woman are the two minions. We don't need to talk about how everyone knows this, but it's universally agreed that these are the minions. Tonight, the Plague Doctor is killed. What do you think about whether you do this? Which is, of course, giving yourself the widow ability and poisoning the Alsahir.
Great question. Love that one. Ember?
I think it's how we, like, it really depends how equally these are all demon candidates, I think.
Yeah. Like, Because say more.
For example, say the Savant was the leading demon candidate. And, like, you know, the Elsie here is going to guess the Savant and the two minions tomorrow. Like, or, like, there's a good guess. Like, I think it's listening to your players. Like, you probably don't need to poison the Elsie here in that case. But, like, if you know the Elsie here is going to guess the demon and the two minions tomorrow, just based off of listening in town, then it seems like a smart, like, a good choice to poison the Elsie here in that case. Like, it's just all about kind of listening to your players and seeing where they are. Like, I would poison the Elsie here to prevent the evil tomb from losing. That seems like a good use of the outsider ability, but something you have to be aware of. Like, listen to your players.
Yeah, I think that's where I am. Is I think, like, my personal view is games are always more interesting when the players collectively make a choice on who wins and who loses. Rather than one team getting to, not cheat is the wrong word, but put the other team in a no-win situation. I think when one of the teams can lock the other team into a situation where they can't win, it can be pretty demoralizing for the players, and even for the people who win. I think it can feel like a little bit like, okay, then, we just sort of trapped them. And this is sort of like, and it happens a lot of times, it's not the end of the world that it happens. It happens a lot on BMR with, like, the Devil's Advocate, where evil team can maneuver sometimes into a situation where the good team can solve the game, but because of where the DA is at the right time, it doesn't matter anymore. The evil team just wins. It can happen sometimes with, like, in Zone Blue games with, like, the good team misusing their dead votes, where you're now, like, you're, like, one of the teams just gets to be in victory formation, the other team sort of has to sit there and watch. I would say if the good team, like, knows that is, like, completely divided about whether the Savant or the Kazali is the demon and is, like, planning to execute one and also here gets the other so that the evil team cannot win, that's a situation where you have to poison the Elsa here. If it's not that situation, I think you have a little more freedom, but I think, like, yeah, if you think the Alcier is likely to guess the Kazali, you should probably poison them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also an argument for not Widow poisoning the Alcier, but having a Widow Ping sent out anyway. That can give enough doubt into the Alcier where if their guess doesn't go through, maybe they were Widow poisoned from the Plague Doctor. So there's a couple ways to go about it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think you have other there are other tools you could use here potentially with the Serenovus maybe, but I do think most of the time I'm going to poison the Alsa here. I think if I again, like, it's a 50-50 in my brain if the Alsa here just wins the game for the good team. It's even worse if the Alsa here, like, kind of guesses the Savant and then yeah, they just kill the Kazali because the Alsahir is just trusted. It really depends. And this kind of goes back to something we talked about earlier. So maybe Emma's right about playing this as not such a strong trust economy. It really depends on if I think the Alsahir is trusted, you know, and what I think they're going to guess and where I think that information is going to go. I'm probably going to hedge toward poisoning the Alsahir much of the time.
Yeah. I mean, if the Alsahir is still the demon candidate, they themselves could get executed and have to make the 50-50 of choosing the Savant or the Kazali in that case.
And if that's where Town is, I think it's much less important to poison the Elsa here.
Yeah.
I think if it's a situation where you know Town's never killing the Elsa here, you know the Elsa here is going to guess the minions correctly because
they're outed.
That's where we are. Like, in that situation, I think you are almost obligated as a storyteller here to poison the Elsa here and force Town to make the choice as a group rather than letting Town put the evil team in a situation where they cannot win.
It might still happen. The Alsahir might still guess the Savant, right? Even after they're poisoned, the Alsahir might guess the Savant. They might not, you know, they might execute the Sally, and that's okay, but at least you've made enough space for the evil team to go, whoa, 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 there was a Widow Ping, the Alsahir's poisoned, you know, maybe the Savant is still the demon. Like, maybe the Savant clan is still the demon.
Oh yeah, so only the Kazali should make the argument. I'm not so sure what that.
Yeah. Probably not the out of situation. Yeah.
But like, yeah, you just like you want to avoid the no-win scenario.
Yeah. If possible.
That's just I saw an opportunity to talk about it, and I like talking about it. So, try to land yourself in a situation where both teams can win the game. If you're still playing the game.
I mean, imagine that Kazali talks their way out of getting executed in this situation, right? That's a great and fun and interesting and exciting ending of the game, right? So, like, you want to at least enable them to potentially do that.
All right, does anyone sort of have any final thoughts on storytelling the Alcihir or the Alcihir generally?
Ember, you want to wax poetic about your favorite character for a moment?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite character, though. Very much is up there, but I think it is very underrated, and I think more people who have written off the Alcihir as a weak character should give it another chance. Go at it from a fresh mindset and kind of think about it again.
All right. Well, this is when we give our guests the opportunity to promote whatever they want to promote. And say whatever they want to say. So, Ember, what do you want to do?
Well, viewers at home, if you haven't already joined the Grim Scenarios Discord server, please do so. It is a great place where you play Flock Tower and other board games, and sometimes video games and RPGs as well. It's a great place. I'm there. Milk and Emma are there. There's a lot of great people there. Go join. That's all.
Well,
I don't have anything else about myself, so might as well.
If you'd like to see Ember play Clock Tower, you can catch Ember on the Grim Scenario stream on most Tuesdays and sometimes on Saturdays, and on the TPI stream as well on some Sundays and Thursdays. And you will get to see her brilliance as she is a very good Clock Tower player. So thank you for coming on, Ember. We really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your time with us.
Thanks for having me.
And with that, may your scenarios stay grim.